Back again, episode 21. I still believe in the kindness of others. Look towards all that they have, Leander hummed. The lairds and the kings and the rich in their homes. How do we pull it forth and spread it out? Silence. I couldn't keep my tongue. I said, hesitatingly, tripping over the middle syllables of the new word. We could try to ingratiate ourselves to them. Kalia turned her gaze on me, slow and steady. Carefully, jaw jotted just the slightest degree, just enough to make me grateful she was taking the time and courtesy to curb her words, she said, "Yes, Elias, because that has worked so well before." She didn't say Prometide or mention my prince. She didn't say his name. She was trying to be nice, but the disdain still pushed through. "Well," Leander began. "Have you looked towards all the lairds, Capitan? In the town where I lived, the lairds started a school from their house. They protected the children from the draft by volunteering for other taxes, often which came from their own house. The lottery takes effect when there is reluctance or apathy. Not even the kings would turn down a willing donor. My laird made sure that it never came to that. There were longest night parties every year in their house and birthday celebrations for elders and matriarchs and children of the laird. This story is set up for a but then, Poeta, but you are trying to pretend otherwise," Kalia interrupted. "Finish the story. Tell me why I haven't heard of this laird." Leander shifted uncomfortably, tucking their fate beneath them on the ground. "Well," they began. "Well, but then the laird grew sick and forgetful. Then they died. The laird's children, now half grown, were raised in court and did not think to remember their people back in the countryside. No one volunteered for attacks. Our numbers came up for our children, and we assumed it had been a mistake and did not do as they said, and their voice had lost its musicality, cadence they fell into. This was a harried rush of words, one tripping out over another, a scared kid trying to skip the worst of a story while every fiber of their being refused to let them yield." Kalia stiffened, but her voice was gentle. "You don't have to finish. They came with soldiers," Leander said. Face carefully blank words in a perfect practiced storyteller lilt. "My sister ran. They put an arrow through her back." Silence. Kalia sank to her knees beside Leander and pulled them into a long, long hug. "Then why would we turn to them?" she asked. "Because," Leander managed, in gulping breath slashes thick with tears, "because those who made it out of the city only continued to survive because of the help of neighboring villages, because people reach out to hold the hands of those on the ground beside them, because I still believe in the kindness of others." They quieted, breathing hard, and took a moment to compose themselves. Leander scrubbed at their face. "This has not convinced me of anything," said Calia. "That's okay," Leander said. "There is another, but then." "But then, Calia of Rhysaea and its people, those of us who survived were taken in by a nearby village. They brought us to their lair. She kept us safe until we could stand on our own again, because she, too, believed in the kindness of others. She is the one who sponsored me when the time came to find the poet. She did not ask for anything in return, and she does believe in prophecy." It was almost too perfect. Support? Funding? Maybe. Maybe, possibly, without asking for anything in return. "This sounds like a trap," Calia said, simply. "Accepting kindness is always an exercise in trust," Leander responded. "Let me go to speak with her, even if you will not."
"Absolutely not," I cut in. "I'm not letting either of you go alone, together or not at all." I turned to Calia. "That is what you believe in, right? Together or not at all? That has to be the three of us, too, if we want to succeed." Her mouth went thin. Finally, she conceded.
"Together or not at all?" She raised an eyebrow. "But careful, Poeta. Careful, Leander. I do not trust them. It is one thing to dole out kindness to those so far below you. It is another to help the systems you run fall." "I believe in her," Leander contested. "Believe in me."
Calia shot a glance my way. I'm sure she was remembering a version of this conversation had between her and Iolo and I. I think Calia heard echoed the "I don't trust her" that had run thick between her and I. I think she remembered Iolo offering to give the grace that, at the time, she could not. If we would learn to work together, we all had to lean into each other. It was my turn to play Iolo's part. "I believe in Leander," I said, despite my misgivings. I thought about the way even Cassian, the son of a tyrant yet to come, had almost turned away. I looked at the hope Leander held in their eyes and tried to make that enough to stake my life. "I trust them to do what is right. Believe in me too." Calia drew in a shaky breath. She took my face in one hand and Leander's in the other. Her nails dug into my chin, but I did not pull away. "I will," she said, finally. "I will." We began to pack 3 days after that conversation. We held one vote, then another, arguing to give this laird a chance to help us remake the world. The decision passed. Barely, but it passed. Rhea voted for it, to my surprise, her hand going up after a long second of hesitation. Hast, eyes hard, voted against. She did not ever stand to make her point, but we all knew it well enough. Cast and Callia fought over her leaving. I wasn't supposed to see it, I don't think, but I did. Callia spent every second that the three of us were not stretching and testing at the webs that held us together, Rex et Poeta et Soldat with Hast. They talked over things she shooed me away from. She didn't do it angrily, just with a look that told me that not all things were for me or about me. And that was fine. That I understood. There were things of mine that weren't for her either. Late night conversations between Rhea and I about our childhoods. I tried to explain the American South to her in the most honest way I could, in English, finally not curbing my intention with clunky Rhysaean language. It was only here, with my first friend in this world, that I allowed myself to feel the dregs of longing I still carried with me for this world after all. That question lurked even there, even then, always that question, where is home? I didn't know then. I still don't now. Rhea stayed in English for those conversations only, a strange and forlorn version of the bits of wonder we used to exchange on palace rooftops. She told me about her teacher at the castle and what it had been like to grow up beside Cassian and then grow up alone. She blushed through the story of the first time she'd kissed Iolo and shook her head at the memory of the only time she'd drank too much Thraim once had been enough to learn her lesson. She closed her eyes and told me about being small and braiding Cassian's hair. She told me that she thought that the queen had, when she was quite small, in some different time, loved her. Fear that our past would come back up and swallow us whole didn't rear their heads that late at night. When the stars were out, and when we were together, we could talk. But we weren't stupid enough to say the words, despite it all, I still miss it, I do, even if they were a little bit true. I mean, the Frethem wasn't often glorious. We all, more than just Rhea and I, but everyone who had memories of safer times, sometimes missed the places we came from, whether we wanted to or not. For Rhea, for me, to say more than objective memory was to risk being recalled to the place in Rhysaea where we were made, even under the protection of the stars. Neither of us were stupid or selfish or sentimental enough for that. I learned about her childhood. She learned about mine. She tilted her head onto my shoulder and let me cross my legs over hers. During the day, she passed laundry off for me to wring out while she scrubbed and we sang songs to fill the lulls and silences. We sang. We told stories. Hast and Callia fought. The very last one they had before our leaving carried, even though it was not meant for outside ears. They were both throwing words around far too fast for me to catch more than half of it. Most people had fallen into the habit of speaking slower around me, and some of it bounced sideways into that traveler Rhysaean, but the point was clear. Hast did not like what we were doing. She did not want to bow at the feet of a different laird. "You can't," Hast said. That I caught. There was more, an angry building of voices I didn't understand, but Callia sliced through Hast's. "This might be our only chance. We don't have enough to keep going on our own for so much longer. Support." She sighed the word. And then her voice dropped low enough that it once again became just for Hast. By the time I found my nerve to turn the corner and look both of them in the eye, Hast had pulled Callia into a tight hug, face buried in her hair. Callia caught sight of me and pushed Hast back to speak. hast beat her to it, reaching one hand up to cover Callia's mouth. I hear there is a web of trust, Elihidida. You and the poet and my capitan. And a laird. It is the kind of story that ends badly for the heroes.
I know,
I said. Don't let it become a gallows song, she said.
I'll try, I said.
Callia pushed Hast's hand away and tucked her arm through the crook of her elbow.
Don't worry, dear one.
I won't. We packed. Leander took their loot, Callia her swords. All of us tightly rolled to try and avoid wrinkling the fanciest clothing we could dredge up, rex et poeta et soldat. From a bag marked with the performer's insignia, we found a tub of gold paint and shoved that in tow, because to sell this, we would need to be kings. So we set out, thrumming with hope, heady with intention, to catch a laird.
Back Again is written and produced by me, Abigail Eliza. If you're enjoying the show, please consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice or supporting Back Again on Patreon at patreon.com/backagainpodcast, where you'll gain access to bloopers, annotated transcripts, episode sneak peeks, and more. If you'd like to hear more about the show, visit us on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at backagainpodcast, or on TikTok at Abigail Eliza Writes. Our outro music is Nightingales by Pierce Murphy from the album To Japan, and is licensed under an attribution license. The song was retrieved from freemusicarchive.org. Visit the description of this episode for full copyright information and a link to the page. Sound effect attribution, similarly, can be found in the episode description. If you've made it this far, thanks for sticking around. Please remember that you do not have to fill your days with action and creation to be worthy of the space you take up. You were made already whole. The light-soaked days are coming. Promise. I hope you have a wonderful day.